I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His amazing and real and tangible presence in your life. Well, I've been pondering this statement for about a week now. I read it in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 2. Now listen to this. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. That's what hit me. The devil is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. And I just started to think about that. I mean, just in practical terms, we have an enemy, a very real enemy, who's right now working and increasing his influence in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. I just want you to ponder that for a minute because, you know, he's a legalist, and if we give him access, he works. So he's not only working in those who are unbelievers, he also is able and does every day work in the lives of believers. And that's almost more painful because that's when the world gets a mixed message. If we're not dealing with the junk in our soul, if we're harboring unforgiveness or bitterness or whatever, if we don't allow the transformative, purifying work of the Holy Spirit, and we think we can just hold on to some of our stuff without consequence, that's the place where the enemy will land and work and bring a real confusing message to a world in need. But then you've got this in Ephesians 3, and this is where Paul's talking about God's wonderful plan about bringing the Jews and the Gentiles together under the blood of Christ. And he says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to the unseen rulers, all of the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So it was such a radical day for Paul to say, this gospel is not just for Jews, but for Gentiles too. It was absolutely revolutionary for him to say this and to say God's purpose in bringing us together in the way that we walk before Christ is to serve notice to the unseen realm, to say that his purposes will prevail. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. And then it goes on, and when I think of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources that he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Like there's a quickening, a resurrection power that quickens within us and empowers our steps and brings clarity to our vision and discernment to our hearing and precision to our words. I want you to think about that. When you start to allow the spirit to do this quickening work, then Paul says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Then your roots will go down deep into the soil of God's love. And that's what's going to keep you strong, is God's love firmly rooting you in the kingdom is what's going to keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, listen to this, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. But when you experience and encounter the love of Christ, Scripture says, then you're filled to the fullness. Then you're made complete and with all the fullness and the power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who's able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ever dare to ask or imagine. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout generations, forever and ever. Amen. Somebody got to give me an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. This is so powerful to me when I think about, if we get lazy, and I'm just not condemning, I'm just saying, if we shrug our shoulders at the resurrection power made available to us, and we sort of just don't actively engage going, God, what in me? You know, you can shake your fist at the darkness all day long. And Kevin, I've been re-watching The Chosen, and there was a line where Jesus said, for those who reject me and don't follow me, I expect very little. But to those who choose to follow me, I expect much. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking, may we lean in and just say, God, have your way in me. Yes, this world seems like it's spiraling down, but resurrection power is alive in me because the spirit of the air is actively finding hearts to work in and influence and affect their perspective, their words, their deeds, their manipulation, and whatever. So how much more powerful Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. To me, this is a call for us to go, what are you saying, Lord, to the church? What are you saying to me? And that work that you want to do in me. One last thing before I introduce my guest today. I was sitting with God is able. And first I capitalized God. God is the one who's able. And then I wrote, God is able. He is. He can do whatever he wants. And he's able. And but it's according to the work that we allow him to do in and through us. Well, I'm so excited to have an Intercessor's Insight show. It's been over a couple months since we've done this, and it's way overdue. So thrilled to be talking to my friends Rosie, Shannon, and Bonnie. These gals know how to pray. They love the presence of God. So together we're going to listen to what the Lord's saying to his people, and they each have come with just pressing thoughts of what God has shown them in the secret place, and we're going to pray for you. So two things I want to throw your way. If you've got prayer requests, you can text them in right now, 877-933-2484, and we've got a good stack of books off our Faith Radio shelf that we would love to get into your hands. No promises. It's going to be a surprise just because we got a good stack. So let's just trust that you'll get the book you're supposed to get, and maybe you need to give it away. And you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Shannon Velzer and her husband joined John, Pastor North Star Community Church, a church they planted 9 years ago. It's housed in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. Rosie Brazen is no stranger to Faith Radio. She produces the show that follows this one, Afternoons with Bill Arnold. She's a wife, mother, daughter, friend, and she was a good friend of mine before she even stepped into Bill's show. She's someone I trust and who I love to call when I need prayer. Amazing praying woman of God. And then Bonnie Newberg is one of my dearest friends, has been a mentor to me for years, and I always, always want to hear what she has to say. So this is the one time I'll have you girls speak at the same time. Welcome.
Oh,
we're so glad to be here.
Wonderful to be here.
Yay, yay. And if the audio sounds different, we've got Shannon on the phone, Bonnie and Rosie in studio. So Bonnie, if you don't mind, we'll start with you. What has the Lord been speaking to you about these days?
Well, I want to share a scripture with you, and it's one that I came across just the other day, and it's out of Philippians 3, and it's Philippians 3, 1-3, and it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things you and I have talked about often is correction and direction and how God has been doing that. And I love the idea that God is saying rejoice, and he talks about this is safe for you. And in these days, you know, when you rejoice, when you worship God, you're putting your focus on him and getting it off of everything that's down below. But there's one other thing I wanted to mention to you about this scripture. It says, beware of the dogs, beware of mutilation, beware of the evil workers. In that scripture years ago, the Lord told me, I want you to be a watchman, not a watchdog.
Mm.
And it's been such a interesting revelation to see that a watchman comes out of a different place than a watchdog.
So good. A watchman, you know, is an intercessor on the wall, discerning danger, interceding, calling on, boldly, confidently coming into the Lord's presence. A watchdog is a self-proclaimed, you know.
Right. And a watchman will see the danger and warn, but it comes out of a heart of love for God. A watchdog just wants to tear in pieces the person that his eye is on, you know.
Yeah, so good.
So anyway.
And you were saying even in the car you've been reading a book, and the author was making a distinction between just having that, being a watchman and watchdog, basically.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Say a word about that before we go to Rosie.
Well, she was talking about judging, you know, being able to judge in the spirit without being judgmental. She was talking about critiquing a situation without being critical. And I just thought that was really, it's an interesting place to come from, discernment that is really from the Lord. It's what is God saying here, and what is his heart in this situation?
Mm-hmm. So good, Bonnie. Right. Thank you so much. Love that. What do you say, Rosie?
I could just listen to Bonnie.
Oh,
can we,
I know.
Can we just talk some more?
I know.
Am I up next?
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
Yes, you are.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So, there's a scripture, Hebrews 4:12, which we all know. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So that is a very familiar scripture. But what God's been working on in my life is realizing that, you know, we show up at our Bible studies and we memorize scripture and we do these activities, which are wonderful and life advancing and faith advancing. However, this verse is saying that actually there is a surrender that we need to allow the scripture to read us, that that's its intention, that it will bring things up. I mean, when we are in our, this is what I'd like to do, we're just coming out of New Year's resolutions, right? And some of our resolutions come out of place of self. And, you know, to sit and ask God, what would you like to do in my life? Mm. It's very different because sometimes what he wants to do is not seen by anybody else.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
You just are growing in your character and the Bible is reading you, the word is reading you and allowing some things to slough off that maybe no one else sees, but what they do see is an output of a woman or man who knows the Lord, mm-hmm. and then they are walking in more truth in the fruits of the Spirit.
Right. And that's right? exactly what we were talking about as far as, you know, that's the work of God within mm-hmm. you. But I think whenever God raises up a new standard in you, it's because he wants to do even a greater work through you. And this yes. is why that the enemy would love condemnation, mm-hmm. but God's like, no, this is invitation. You
right.
know,
right.
trust me and respond to my transformative work. And I think that's so powerful. We need to pause here. So when we come back, Shannon, we'll get to you and your verse, and we've seen a couple of prayer requests come in as well. And you know, this is one of those days we could talk for two straight hours. I mean, Lord is talking. And friends, you know, so there's several reasons you could text in. One is how we can pray for you. Two is, what is the Lord saying to you? What's impressed upon your heart these days? And then we got a good old stack of books to give away. So if you want, in a separate text, just text the word book, and here's the number, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. It is one of our shows that we love to do, Intercessors Insights. We've got our friends Bonnie Newberg, Shannon Velzer, Rosie Brosnan on the show today to just talk about they spend a lot of time in prayer. So I just want to know, what is the Lord speaking to them? But I also like to know, what is the Lord speaking to you? You can text me, 877-933-2484. We've got Rosie and Bonnie in studio. We've got Shannon on the phone. So we heard from Rosie and Bonnie with your opening scripture. Now it's time to hear from Shannon. What say you, Shannon?
Oh, well, thank you, Susie. You know, I just want to be really transparent because I think a lot of people are going to resonate with this. But, you know, this has been a hard season, as we know. And for my husband and our family, it's been a really hard month. We've had a lot of sickness go through our home. And we've also had multiple deaths within our church family. And, you know, it's been a challenging time, but I've been focusing in on a really, it's basic, it's a cornerstone, but the Beatitudes, and it's Matthew 5, 3-10. And it has just been encouraging me personally in times that can become discouraging or can become a little overwhelming. And I'll just share it with you. It's, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. And blessed, lastly, are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And, you know, that has encouraged me that even as we're walking through these challenges of sickness, and a lot of people have been sick for the second or third time with COVID or with other strains of viruses, a lot of people have experienced loss. And it has encouraged me that even despite challenging circumstances, I can look to the Lord and see that I am still blessed. And, You know, the ancient Greek for the meaning of the word blessed is makarios, which means to be happy or blissful, a self-contained happiness. And another description is one who lives in another world, far from the problems and worries of other and free from earthly cares and struggles. And I know that as a believer, that's where my hope is right now, that my, you know, I don't live in this world in terms of, you know, my heart and my mind are in the kingdom of God. And I'm able to just center myself in the Lord and be free from those earthly cares and struggles that can overwhelm and that can discourage. But when I can find that centering in the Lord and the reminder that he is with me, then the encouragement is there that I can see the blessings despite the circumstances.
That's beautiful, Shannon. Mm-hmm. I got another friend who's a really amazing intercessor, and she said something the other day that hit me. She said she's never been one to pick the one word. You know, we did a show on what's your one word for the next year. And so she went to bed thinking, you know, it's just not something I've done. And the Lord woke her up and said, your word for this year is bow. And she's like, bow. And she's a very, you know, submitted woman to God, you know, but he led her to scripture after scripture. And I'm hoping I can do justice to what she said. But, you know, the whole thing of when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, you know, he establishes you in due time. But this is what she said. She said, the Lord, because we have so many reasons to be offended in this day, that she said, the Lord spoke to her heart, if you will bow before me, because you, he said, my people are too casual with their king. That if we can treat him as the king that he is and bow in reverence, that those who do not bow will end up bowing, but even those who lie will tell the truth even if they don't want to. And I thought that was so interesting. She said, I got this picture of people just suddenly saying things, you know, like where there's cover up or corruption, as the church bows, as the church, as we humble ourselves, going, you're going to do what you're going to do, but I have a king and I'm going to treat him like a king.
Amen.
I mean, imagine that, because truth, you know, may be thrown to the ground, but it springs up from the ground, remember? And righteousness smiles down from heaven. That rocked me. I just thought that was so powerful. And this dear listener just wrote in, we have amazing listeners. Sarah writes in, Susie, the Lord so tenderly told me the other day, Sarah, you're not injured, you're offended. Wow. Get off the bench, drop the crutch, and get back in the game. Wow. I've got so much for you to be a part of. That is just earth-shaking. She says, that really helped me realize where the enemy had whispered a lie that I was holding on to, and it was holding me back. I'm thankful for a God that sees me and knows exactly where my heart is at. And this is just proof, Bonnie, that the Spirit of God speaks to us. I mean, Romans says his Spirit speaks to our spirit to affirm we are God's children. There's some who criticize when we say the Lord spoke to my heart, you know, and it's like we're all accountable before God, but he does. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, right?
Yes.
And to have that kind of insight can only come from the Holy Spirit.
It also talks about we have the witness in ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think all of us are trying to cultivate the ear that hears what the Spirit is saying to the church, especially in this day and age. And I love the bow thing. I remember years ago when I was doing that little prayer group at Bridgewood, by the way. And I remember going in one day and I felt like the Lord said, this isn't a time to buck up. It is a time to bow down. And before you rise up, you bow down. And there is something so profound about that. It's a surrender. It's a yieldedness. It's a place of reverence. Bless God for that word. What a great word.
Indeed, indeed. And Shannon, you had, you when you sent your notes and you talked about some of just battling a spirit of discouragement. And say a little bit more about that, because there's, you know, we sent our notes in ahead of time, you guys did, but I see such a prevailing theme because none of you knew what the other was going to say, but there is something about submission and surrender to his lordship and then trusting him to do what he's going to do, because the enemy really is on a rampage right now to sow seeds of discouragement, isn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. And you know what? I know in talking to other people who lead churches that is something that they're kind of battling, and that people in our churches are battling, that believers are battling. And I really felt like the Lord, as I began to really recognize that, man, in my home, in my life, I am starting to battle a spirit of discouragement. This so many different things. I think it's just the number of things that we're battling at the same time. you know, whether it could be sickness or challenges with people at work in terms of sickness and not being able to be in. And there's just so many different obstacles, and our patterns have been disrupted, which can be discouraging. And I really felt like the Lord encouraged me to take a position of looking at this from a bird's eye view, and remembering that although we are in times where there are a lot of challenges, I felt like the Lord encouraged me that the power of our prayer life is going to be what really gets us through this, the power of our prayer and being centered in the Word of God and focused in the Word of God. Those two things, that when we can just refocus in those areas, that there is actually, as much as there are challenges and obstacles that we're facing, I do believe that God is pouring out His Spirit on the people of God, and that we really need to access that power. And a lot of us, we have never had to pick up some of the tools of the warfare, that we've never had to use them like we've had to right now. And some people were not using them. And my encouragement is just, we need to pick up, you know, the weapons of our warfare. We need to pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and we need to start fighting this discouragement, and not just fighting to come against it, but actually to overcome it. That there is power right now, an exponential power in our prayers, and that I really felt the Lord speak to me personally, that if I would start praying at another level, that God would start answering at another level.
Come on, somebody.
That's really good.
Yeah, I just felt like God was like, you know what, you need to elevate the level of prayers in your expectancy. You're praying at a lower level than I want to answer. So start praying bigger prayers, because I'm ready and waiting. I'm pouring out my Spirit. And for the people who are willing to pray bold prayers, just as bold as the darkness has been, I will be just as bold with my Spirit.
Come on.
Isn't that Rosie, so good? That is so in line with what you were saying. And I'm going to you, for one, because it's your turn to talk, but two, because you're the producer, too, and you know how our clock works.
I'm looking at the clock right now.
Got a minute and a half, but maybe piggyback.
Will piggyback, because, Shannon, you didn't know what we were talking about. We didn't know what each other was talking about. And yes, and the way that we step into a different place of prayer is not by our eyes on what the world is doing. It's in... We do what we believe. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is a king above all other kings, that the gospel will not fail, that he has already conquered all the things that we are facing? And when you get into the throne room with that position, when you say, I am a sinner, but actually what I believe above my sin nature is that you have redeemed me and want me in this room with you, and therefore I'm getting behind you and praying and belief that I know it's already done. That's a completely different prayer position.
It was interesting, you know, that passage, it talks about what you bind on earth is bound in the heavenlies. What you, loose on the earth is loose in the heavenlies. I've read a commentary on that that said, actually, what's been already bound in the heavenly realm, we bind on earth. What's already been loosed. And so if you kind of almost picture, like I pictured the Red Sea, you know, God just parting the sea and the sea piling up like a wall of sea so that the Israelites could pass on dry ground. Whatever's coming against you, go ahead and picture in the heavenly realm, it's bound. So you stand and you just enforce it with your faith, saying that thing is not coming against me successfully. I'm walking through and I will see the other side. Susie Larson here talking to my friend, intercessor Shannon Velzer, Bonnie Newberg, Rosie Brousen. We'll be back in a minute.
hope you're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Today is one of the shows that we call Intercessors Insights. We invite in some praying friends who spend a good amount of time in the secret place just praying and seeking God, listening for his voice. And every couple months we get them together. We hear what the Lord is saying to them. We just want to bend an ear and hear from the Lord. Shannon Velzer is on the phone. Rosie Brosnan, who's Bill's producer, my friend Bonnie Newberg, are in studio. And what Shannon said, I just loved so much what she talked about. Shannon, actually restate what God said to you about your prayers, that he wants you to pray bigger prayers because he's got some bigger answers, something like that.
Yeah, I really felt like, you know, as I was focused for a little bit and just overwhelmed with the amount of things that are the darkness on the earth right now and the hard things that people are going through and that we're experiencing, I felt like the Lord said, the level of the darkness and the evil and the loss that you're seeing, I want you to recognize that as you pray right now in this season, I am exponentially responding to the people, my people's prayers. And so if you see a level 10 darkness, then you better start praying a level 20 prayer life, because I am going to overcome those things. But you need to elevate your expectation of me, our request and prayers for the miraculous, for healing, and all of the responses to the darkness that we're seeing and the hard things that we're seeing. I just felt like the Lord said, rise up and get bigger in your prayer life. Take a bird's eye view and just begin to attack those things in prayer and call out those things in prayer. And I am responding exponentially to my people right now.
Can somebody give me an amen? So as dark as the darkness is, how much more bold should our prayers be? Did you want to say something, Bonnie?
No.
Oh, it looked like you had something. So, you know, one of the things, Kevin, I often pray is, God, would you give us dreams? You know, speak to us in our dreams. It's a biblical concept, you know. So we have, and Kev has these vivid dreams that are so wild. And he had a dream, and we're going to start to pray for a number of you. I know I've seen a number of requests come in, but it just is amazing how all these messages from you girls are tying together. Mm-hmm. But he had a dream, and this is so typical, that he's the one who's of sound mind, and I'm the one who's going all, you know, running too fast. But he was coming up to the front of our house. We have this big potted planter thing, and these butterflies started flying out of it. And I ran past him to go, oh, butterflies. And he put his arm up and said, stop, slow down, slow down. And then all of a sudden bees came up and they were swarming. And he said, wait, wait. All of a sudden the bees got in a single line formation, like they were all lined up in a formation. And he just took his hand and he moved the whole line out of the way. And it was not, you know, inconsequential. And we both really felt like, you know, you can get into swatting bees all day long, getting offended over here, getting mad over here. That is what the enemy wants. It's just chaos where we're just swinging at the bees. But if you step back, kind of like Rosie was saying, even during the break, and you discern what the battle is, right? And then you take authority, because as, again, as Shannon said, as dark as the darkness gets, you know, greater is he that is in us. So if we can keep our wits about us, keep our hearts pure, and then keep our prayers bold, we will overcome, and the enemy won't get away with half of what he's hoping he'll get away with. So we've got a lot of people to pray for, so we're going to do that. We'll kind of take turns. Sherry is amazing to me because she's asking prayer for someone else. She has stage 4 lung cancer, and she's just such an amazing woman. And she said, I'd love for Bonnie to pray for my niece. I've been caring for her son, she's caring for her niece's son for months, and would ask that God would open her eyes, that he would take away all addiction and bring her back to her family and to Jesus. And so I'm going to have Bonnie pray for Sherry's niece, and then I'm going to have Rosie pray for Sherry, because Rosie has a miracle that she's seen in her own family around cancer. So go ahead, Bonnie, if you don't mind.
Father, we thank you that you have told us in your word that is for freedom that you have set us free. We just speak and pray for freedom over this girl's lives. Lord, we just take authority over that power of addiction in our life. And in the name of Jesus, we break it. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the prayer of agreement and how much agreement there is in this audience and even in this little studio. Lord, we just pray that you who began a good work in her. I'm sensing that there might have been a good work began in her. We pray that you would bring it to completion.
Yes, God.
Lord God, we commit her to your care. We just thank you, Father, that you'd send the Holy Spirit, that you'd lift up the light of your Spirit on her, Lord God. It's in your light that we see light. We pray that you would open our eyes in Jesus' name.
Yes, God. Thank you. And Lord,
Lord Jesus, I just thank you for Sherry. I thank you for her generous heart. Mm. Lord, I thank you that you have promised for those who pour out generously to others, they too shall be refreshed. And Lord Jesus, I know that infirmity is not of you. And Lord, in your strength of your name and your victory that's already taken place on the hills of Calvary, Lord, I bind the spirit of infirmity off Sherry. Lord, she is separated from that. She is the child of the High King. She is a daughter of the High King. She is healed in her body, in every cell of her body, and evil must depart. It has been identified. Cancer is not of God. It has no use. It comes under the authority. Its knee shall bow to the name of Jesus Christ and leave Sherry right now in the name of Jesus.
Mm. Amen. This dear listener says, I love all of you. I love listening, and I love it when I get encouragement back from Rosie. And just for the record, I'm in my studio after my show, and Rosie, I see you answer everybody. You text everybody back. It's just amazing. She said, I'd love a prayer to my three adult children have strayed so far from God. Pray that God does whatever it takes to bring them to their knees back to him. Ugly prayers are hard to pray, but necessary. Pray also for God to continue to work in my heart, that I can be used for his glory and not get bitter. Thank you so much for the ministry. And Shannon, I'm wondering if you would pray for these adult children who've strayed far from God.
Absolutely. You know, Lord, we lift up these three kids, God, or these children, and we pray, God, wherever they are right now, would you touch their hearts, God? Would you soften hearts that may be hardened, hearts that may be just offended or hurt by things, God, whatever the reasons that their hearts are not soft towards you, God, would you soften those areas? And God, I pray right now, would you open up their eyes, God, their spiritual eyes, the eyes of their heart, God, to see their need for you, God. Would you come to them, God, in the quiet places of their day, God, in spaces and places where they might be wondering or they might feel the gap, God, where you are not. Lord, would you send your Holy Spirit, God, just to speak to them? And I pray you would water seeds that have already been planted by other people. God, would you let them grow in their hearts? And God, would you literally turn their hearts back towards you, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Mm. Mary Jane asked her prayer. She and her husband have COVID. She has rare chronic illnesses. He has asthma. So, Father, we lift up this dear girl and her husband, and we just thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes we are healed. You were whipped and beaten that we could be made whole. Mm. So I pray that you not only heal Mary Jane from COVID, but from her chronic illnesses, Lord, and all the trauma associated with chronic illness. Would you heal her down to the cellular level? I mean, anything that's imprinted on her cells, the trauma around it, would you redeem and restore and make all things new, God? I ask you, God, that she'd skate through this and be better, but it would just come through unscathed without any trouble. Lord, I pray you take your hand and just minimize that viral load, and I pray her body would rise up and the enemy's plan would backfire. And I pray for her husband, God, you're the one who puts breath in his lungs. Would you heal him from asthma, heal and deliver him from COVID? And I pray they would come through strong and steady in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We've got quite a few more, but I want to ask you, and we'll get to these as many as we can. I see a lot have come in, and wow, we just bless you all. The needs are so great. But I want to talk, if we can, about, you know, I've said this for the last couple of years, how important it is to steward our perspective. And Bonnie, I'll start with you, but just how are you doing that when you managing inputs of news, the reality of the times, keeping a faith perspective? I mean, I think it looks different on all of us because we all have different capacities for processing some of the hard news that we're seeing. But how are you stewarding it? And what is your sense for the church right now?
Well, the way that I think I steward it is the way I've been doing it for a long time, and that's through worship. You know, even that word I brought this morning about rejoice, and it says, for me to write the same things is not tedious, but for you it is safe. There is a safety for me in rejoicing and worship because you're taking your eyes off of the situation and you're putting it right on God. You know, and there is songs of declaration, there is songs of proclamation, and there are songs of adoration. That adoration, when you're coming into the presence of the Lord and you're worshiping him and you're lifting his name on high, even now, you know, just even talking about that, you know, it settles your soul. It regenerates your spirit, and it brings life to there. Mm-hmm. You know, so
and I bet that's where when and where revelation comes.
Absolutely.
Because the enemy can't get anywhere near. God inhabits the praises of his people. The devil, it's like nails on a chalkboard. I see him just turning end over end into the atmosphere going, oh no, she's worshiping.
Yes.
You know, that he can't, you know, but this is that uninterrupted place of intimacy where God can speak then.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
What about you, Rosie?
Wow, that I love listening to Bonnie. Mm. I'm so glad I'm sitting to her right. Mm. For me, it's very similar in part of what you're talking about. Worship is anytime I'm spending the time with the Lord. And what I've had to learn, especially in the last 18 months, is I need to turn off the world and turn on God. Mm. So I am making choices to listen to hymns when I walk my dog in the morning. I am making choices when I can't sleep to listen to the Bible being read over me. I'm making choices to not plug into Facebook and not follow. You can feel the temperature of the world. You can feel the evil that is present. I don't need to be reading about it every day because that is the tactic of the enemy.
Yep.
If he can deplete us, if he can discourage us, then he has us, right? Mm-hmm. And we're not in a position of prayer when we are discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping our eye on the Lord is it's an active choice, and it's in a choice of obedience, but also in that choice of obedience, his reverence is so naturally flowing out of you.
Yeah,
it's
so
just
good.
He just raises you up and out of the muck.
Yeah.
Right? Out of the
So, it, again, it's balancing inputs. How about you, Shannon? Especially, you know, I feel like yours between the four of us is probably most challenging because pastoring a church, you can't just, you know, not that any of us crawl under the covers and pull them over, but I feel like you have to stay engaged and you're managing all kinds of people's angst and fears. So how are you stewarding your perspective?
You know, I love what you guys were saying, and I think the word that the Lord was even just speaking to me is just, we can study evil, and we can focus on evil, and we can be consumed by the evil, or we can study the ways of God, we can study the miracles of God, we can study the provisions of God and the ways of God, and that's the input that we put in produces what comes out of our life, and so you know, it's really easy. I mean, you want to stay abreast with what's happening in the world. You don't want to be ignorant. And I'm not proposing that we put our heads in the sand. But I do believe that we can become really quickly consumed with all of the junk. And when we put junk in, junk is going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what we consume with our mind and with our eyes and with our ears is what is going to manifest out of our hearts. You know, it's going to get in there and it's going to come out in our words and what we're thinking. And so we do have to have boundaries. And the gauge that I use for myself is, if it doesn't start to bear fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? If I'm not walking in the fruits of the Spirit after I learn or consume information, then that's my indicator. It's time to pause because now I'm angry. Now I'm scared. Now I'm fearful, whatever it may be. If I'm not walking in the fruits of the Spirit after I learn that information or consume that information, then I need to take a pause. And that kind of tells me how much I can handle. And I think that's a really good gauge for all of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing with the information that you're consuming? Is it building you up in the Lord, or is it tearing you down?
Beautiful. You know, the friend that I'd mentioned about the word bow, you know, she also said something that just I can't stop thinking about. She said, you know, the Lord's been impressing upon her. You know, she had a dream or heard a song or something about another brick in the wall. But she said, I started to think about bricks and slavery and the Israelites just being forced to make all these bricks. And she says, how do you make bricks? Is you chisel them out of rock and then you wash them, you know, so they're all the same and there's no deviation. And she said, it just reminded me of captivity and how the enemy is constantly trying to hold us captive. She says stones, on the other hand, when you do stonework, you put the mortar around the uniqueness of the stone, and we are precious stones in the building of God's kingdom, right? And so the enemy's after slavery, you know, make more bricks and whatever he can do to force us into captivity, to force us to lose our uniqueness, to lose our sense of identity, just so that we all look the same, talk the same, you know, even what you're seeing in our culture today, it's kind of this forced compliance, that there's only one narrative that's acceptable or whatever. But I started to think about when she was saying that from Psalm 139, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. In other translations, you know, I know it. My soul knows it so well that you've made me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. So here it is. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day, listen to this, of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment laid out before a single day was passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. And I just want, before we go to break, just want you to think about this. If the enemy is wielding fear, which he is, and discouragement, and you know, whatever he can do to force us into a corner so we look like the rest of the world, we're trembling in fear, we're full of discouragement, and we lose our sense of how God made us, or the fact that he thinks about us so much that you can't even count his thoughts, and they're all holy. And the fact that every one of our days has already been recorded in a book, God will have his way. The devil will not have the last say. When I think of those things, it helps me to walk forward in faith, to go, you made me unique. I have a perspective. I have a voice. I have a unique calling, as do you, Rosie, and Shannon, and Bonnie, and Kim. And so for us to go, I have a father who made me different than everybody else, and there's a reason I'm on the earth for such a time as this. I just want that to bring encouragement to your heart. The devil wants to force us into captivity, so we're making bricks. We all look the same, talk the same, and walk the same, but we are precious stones in the Father's kingdom, and we are all unique, and he made it that way, and guess what? He likes it that way. We'll be back in a minute. You're having a really great day. We're sure having a fantastic conversation. Susie Larson here. It's an Intercessors Insights show today, talking to Rosie Brosnan, who happens to be Bill Arnold's producer, but she's also many more things than, you know, sometimes they're like, oh, that's so-and-so's mom. Oh, that's Bill's producer. But you're so much more than that. And Bonnie Newberg and Shannon Velzer, and Kim's producing for us today. And we're having a fantastic conversation. And I see a number of requests. We can't even get to all of them because the time is almost up in about 8 minutes. But there's a common theme, Rosie, of anxiety around, worried about cancer coming back, worried about an adult son, worried about a loved one who's going through divorce. And you had something to say during the break that I thought was interesting.
So, and you know, first I have to say, Susie, that we only get to have some knowledge if we've had to battle it ourselves, right?
Exactly,
and
right.
Someone close to us or ourselves. And so when it comes to anxiety and fear, what the Lord has been teaching our family over the last probably 4 years is that anxiety and fear is the output of something that happens first, which is an intrusive thought. So it's the enemy speaking in and stealing something from you, which is typically your peace that we all have once we know Christ as our Savior. You know, he can't take that, but he tries to diminish it. He tries to discourage it. And so sometimes everybody is, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry, I'm anxious, and they start feeling that self-loathing and that self-hurt. And that's not even really the beginning. What we need to repent of when we're walking in anxiety and fear is that we listened to the intrusive thought to begin with. So if we know who our God is, we know that regardless of what our situation is, if we are going home via cancer or we're going to have a miracle, the Lord has our hand and will have our hand through the whole process and on the other side. And so sometimes we have to welcome that truth. Sometimes we have to ask the Lord, you know, from Matthew 15:13, all plants not planted by you shall be uprooted. So what is the root coming from anxiety and fear? Where am I lacking my trust in you, or lacking in obedience, or what's been sown into my life that I need to repent of and get rooted up? And you might notice that once you do that, the anxiety and fear in that area will diminish.
Yeah, you kind of retrace your steps and you realize, okay, this is where I went south. So we just got a few minutes left, so I want to go to all three if we can get the time here. But Shannon, I'll start with you. How would you, I'm trying to think of how I want to even ask this, thinking about Christians in the U.S., Christians in the West, what is your sense? If you had them all together, what is your heart for us as believers moving forward from here? Kind of, you know, things are uncertain, certain things are unknown. There are other things we know very well. His promises are backed by the honor of his name. But what's your kind of pressing burden for the church right now?
Mm. Oh, man, there's so many things. But I think, honestly, if I were to think of our just, you know, a beautiful community of believers that I know personally, my heart as a pastor for them and for any believer is just that we would really rise, like I said in the beginning, and I've kind of been sharing this as a theme, is that our perspective would raise higher than just everything that's going on, and that we would get a kingdom perspective. I think it's really a discipline and a choice to keep a kingdom perspective when the world has so much going on. It's just the amount of information that is out there for us about what's happening, and then the number of things that are actually happening, it can easily take our focus and just put us into the wrong realm of thinking, right? We can become hyper-focused on the political sphere or the cultural sphere or the sphere of entertainment, all of the things that, you know, the medical world, all the things that are going on, it can be really consuming. But if we're not careful, it can become an idol. And so I would just really want to encourage all of us as believers that we really guard our hearts and our minds,
yeah,
and that we try to remember to keep a kingdom perspective, because this life is a vapor. It's a vapor. Mm-hmm. It's short. And so we can become just so distracted and so consumed with what's going on in our present that we forget the eternal.
Indeed.
And so just a challenge to really be focused on the eternal.
Hmm. I like how you said it's a discipline and a choice. And as mm-hmm. I referred to Psalm 139, right at the end, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. It's like not, you know, search me and show me what everybody else is doing wrong. It's search me. And I was thinking, Bonnie, I'm going to go to you next here, but the idea of when we were talking about the idea of bow, and as we bow before God, the idea that the presence of God, the more submitted the people of God are, the more the presence of God will land on others. And you know, I remember reading a story of D.L. Moody. He was so yielded to the things of God. He walked into a barbershop, and all these guys who were in their barbershop chairs went to their knees and started repenting of their sins because the presence of God was on him so strong. I want you to get a vision for what that might look like. And what I get so concerned about is people feeling absolved from the fruit of the Spirit, from what's going on in their heart, thinking, well, the days are evil, so the gloves are off.
Right.
But that is not the case for us as believers.
No. I was looking at a scripture this morning, and it was Jesus talking to the Pharisees and some of the people around, and he says, the reason you err is because you know not the scriptures or the power of God. And I think if I have one thing that I'm burdened for the church about is that the wonderful doctrines of the faith, the truth of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the truth of our union with Christ, the truth of some of these wonderful scriptural truths that God says, I want you to know these things. I want you to be able to walk with them and run with them. Just knowing the scriptures, it's a study to show yourself approved, a workman, rightly handling the word of God. And when you know the word of God, I think you tap into the power of God.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Bonnie. Very good. What do you say, hon?
I don't think I have anything to add to that. That's just so wonderful. But I do, you know, if there is any small little thing, it would be that we have to have confidence in the power of God, and that he has so chosen us to walk in that power and then surrender to that. And I think a lot of times we're so afraid. We have our identity all around ourselves to stay humble, quote unquote humble.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that's actually more about self, and we're not identifying with what God has actually done for us and wants us to do in him.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. The idea of that our perspective is, you know, a discipline, you know, and it's an act of faith. But if we could treasure, you know, our perspective, we could treasure our hearts, our walk with God and the presence of God in our life to such a degree that we're going to say, that thought doesn't belong in my brain. That attitude doesn't belong in my heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just love how, I can't remember her name, which one it was, but she said, the Lord whispered to her, you are not injured, you're offended.
Yes.
You know, throw your crutch away, wow. Get back on the field. I mean, and wow. The fact that she would, to me, is such a sign of maturity.
Yes.
And, you know, we need to grow up in the faith and we need to mature. And the only way that happens is perseverance. Endurance, forgiveness, repentance, humility, teachability.
Yes.
All those things that are not comfortable but are what transform us into his likeness.
And one of the things I love about that, what that young gal said too, was that God spoke in her spirit. You're not, you know,
injured,
but you're offended. She could have gotten offended at that.
Yeah.
But she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a mature believer, being able to take the correction. You know, there is correction in the body of Christ. I think sometimes we forget that.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you know, this is what I'm seeing. And she bowed.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
Well, Shannon, Bonnie, Rosie, thank you for the time today. It was fantastic. Please, let's do it again. Such a fast hour.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is
Appreciate a fast
hour. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you found encouragement. I hope you're inspired. Let's keep looking up, trusting God, and walking boldly, and pray some of these audacious prayers. We serve a big God. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.